The Green Room with Orla Barry on News Talk.
When Karen Piper was six, her family moved to a secret naval weapons centre and test site in the Mojave Desert in the United States, where both her parents designed missiles. Her sister would also go on to work there, and as a teenager, she also began to work there. But the work they did was secret, even within the family. Karen's new book is entitled A Girl's Guide to Missiles, Growing Up in America's Secret Desert. Karen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Can you describe what the China Lake Naval Weapons Center and test site was like to the eyes of a six-year-old? Can you? What did you remember and what did you see at the time?
Actually, when I first moved there, it seemed really barren. It's this big, open, empty desert, and I had just come from lush Seattle, so it was kind of scary to me. But then today, I see it as this just stunningly beautiful living desert that's east of the Sierras, and you have the view of the Sierras in the background. So I grew to love it over the years.
Hmm. And what kind of weapons were being tested there?
Everything. But their specialty is missiles, but they've also worked on chemical weapons and regular bombs and all kinds of things. But my dad worked on the Sidewinder and my mom worked on the Tomahawk primarily. They also did other things, but those were their main missiles.
And these missiles, to explain them to us, the Sidewinder, for example, where would that have been used and how would that have been used?
It's still the primary weapon that's in use by the U.S. military today. And it was used in Vietnam. It was really rolled out and it wasn't very successful there. Mm. So it was, I think, kind of frustrating years for my dad, because he was the lead aerodynamicist on the Sidewinder at the time. And I think it kind of, he never expressed it openly, but over the years I realized it sort of ate at his conscience.
And just to say, because it didn't work so well, did that mean it was missing targets in Vietnam?
Okay. Yes, missing targets, or even like, basically, in Vietnam, the missile would go astray because it didn't work in a hazy environment, and it was designed in the desert, and they didn't realize it's a heat-seeking missile, so it would start tracking all the reflections of the sunlight in the clouds or in the haze or over the ocean, and so it would just go crazy, and pilots would refuse to even carry it because they thought it was more dangerous. But they didn't have backup guns on their planes, so it caused a huge problem. They became sitting ducks once they fired their missiles.
And what did you think? So when you were a six-year-old and you arrived at this place, what did you think your parents were doing there, or what were you told they were doing?
That's a good question. I don't think I really knew what they were doing. I knew, and my dad previously worked at Boeing in Seattle, and he worked on planes. So I always thought he, like, made planes fly. And it was over time, and that's, he would talk about that with us kids, like how plane aerodynamics works, which I found exciting. And then, so it was slowly over time I realized they worked on missiles. But, that comprehension for a kid of what is war and what are missiles for, all of that is the basis of this sort of coming of age narrative that I write in The Girl's Guide to Missiles.
And for your mom and dad, both of them working, as you say, and your mom on the Tomahawk missile, how do they feel about the fact that this was the job they did and that these missiles were being used in war at the time?
That's a question that I had as a kid, which made me want to write the book and just dig, and I drove my mom crazy with questions. But, as a child, they were didn't talk about it. You know, we didn't even really talk about wars on the base at all. So I would say the only sign I had was we were watching, there was a missile that hit a plane in Libya, and one of the pilots they thought had died and in the ocean. They bailed out, but then they thought one of them died. And my mom started to cry. And I said, "Why are you crying?" And she said, "Because those are my missiles." And so there were moments like that where there'd be something on the news. And like my dad got frustrated when during the Gulf War, because he said they kept showing the same missile hitting the same target, and that's not any kind of proof that it's working.
And for you, this and this young kid, because I understand you started suffering panic attacks. How much of that was driven by the environment that you were living and growing up in?
Well, there's so many variables that it's hard to say, because another problem we had on the base was that they had, the city of Los Angeles had drained the lake north of us, and it was causing these giant dust storms that were potentially giving me asthma. So it's hard to know. I mean, I didn't have overt wheezing, but I felt like I couldn't breathe, right? And so it's hard to know, were these panic attacks caused by the weapons environment? Were these asthma attacks caused by the dust storms, or was it something else? I was also raised in an extremely religious environment where we sat in cubicles all day long and studied packets of accelerated Christian education. So the isolation may have led to those panic attacks at night. But yeah, so I did, as a child, end up going to the emergency room in the middle of the night quite a bit.
And were there other families just like you and other kids just like you living on the base like this, where their parents were testing or designing missiles?
Yes. The whole town is basically a company town. So everybody who lived there was just like me. It's a very closed, isolated environment that creates its own culture.
And was it dangerous in the sense that if you're testing missiles, it doesn't sound like a particularly safe place to live or raise a family?
I think it was safe, actually. I didn't have a sense of it, except for the fact of, like, subconsciously not understanding what these missiles are or what an explosion happening on the hill means. I felt safe. I felt probably safer than I did when I moved out into the real world, because out there they didn't have the military flying overhead constantly. And, you know, you're in the center where you feel protected. But I think I felt pretty safe.
And, you know, writing the memoir, I understood you took a number of years to write it. Your dad has passed away, but, you know, your mom, other members of the family, how do they feel about the idea of you writing this memoir?
That's an excellent question. I didn't tell them. So, until 2 years ago, I decided that in order to write, and this is a question all memoir writers have, how do you deal with family members? Because even if you're portraying them in the most positive light, they're going to be sensitive about it. And so I decided to just isolate myself and not let them influence me as I'm writing it, and just try to get as many memories as I can and get them on paper. And then when I have some kind of semi-finished product, then I'll let them know. So I let my sister and my mom read it 2 years ago.
And what was your mom's reaction?
She stayed up all night reading it, which I knew, because in the morning I had emails about every half an hour all night long. And it was very, very stressful, probably for both of us. There's still parts of the book that she's not happy with. Mainly she says, the most recent thing she said was, "Well, I'm okay with it now, except for the sex." So, but with the emails that she sent me were like, "You need to change this," or "This didn't happen." So what I did is I went through every single email and I like talked to her about it. And I made most all of the changes that she asked for. So it all worked out.
And, you know, as I said at the start, this the work is secret. There were secrets within the family about the kind of work that they did. I'm assuming there's also those involved in the whole industry that wouldn't be particularly happy about you bringing out a memoir about your experience. So was there anything that you couldn't say in the memoir regarding the kind of work they did? Or was there any elements of that industry that you were afraid would come after you and question what you were writing?
Yes. I knew I couldn't say anything classified, but I didn't really have access to classified information. So I wasn't too concerned about that. But there's a, you know, because it's such a closed culture, there's a very much of a sort of rah-rah Navy narrative about China Lake that's repeated over and over again. And because I wasn't doing that, I just wanted to be like raw and honest. It upsets some people, and I knew that would happen. So but it also, a lot of people from China Lake are now coming to me and saying, wow, this is my experience. I'm so glad you wrote this. Mm. So I'm getting mixed responses from home.
Mm. And going back to, you know, what your parents knew and didn't know and the impact of the weapons that they were working with, you know, and your dad has passed. But for your mom, and after she read the book, how does she feel about it now? Has she changed in any way her opinion of the kind of work that she did back then?
I think for them it was just a job. So, and I, that's how I see it too, basically. You know, I sort of feel, people ask me like if they felt guilty and this, but I sort of feel like, isn't that like asking a soldier who comes home from war if they feel guilty, you know, and people don't really do that. So my perspective on that has changed. It kind of has gone back and forth over the years, but no, I don't think her perspective has changed at all.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I think it's difficult for her now with the attention that I'm getting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's about her. Yeah. So she was just joking the other day. If she said, if anybody calls about you, I'm just going to say you don't live here anymore.
She's disowning you, Karen. She's disowning you.
No, she's not actually. But that's how she is. You know, she doesn't like to tell.
Yeah.
Doesn't like to talk to people.
Sure, I understand. Most parents, I think, are like that, to be honest, particularly when kids are writing memoirs as well. Well, it's a fascinating book.
Yeah.
It's entitled A Girl's Guide to Missiles, Growing Up in America's Secret Desert. Karen Piper, fascinating read, and thanks so much for joining us here on the show.
Thank you.
News Talk 106 to 108.